Chrissy's got a Dole for President sign in the background. That's cool.
Isn't it?
That's pretty rad.
It is signed, too.
You got your campaign shirt on. You're prepped.
Yes, I am. So.
You gotta give some lessons. Old Brad Janker could learn from Chrissy Golden.
Previously on Dakota Town Hall.
There's a certain type of voter that's just going to, and I don't think this is fair, by the way. I'm just saying. There's a certain type of voter that's going to see 25. Not yet. What do you say to that voter?
Yeah, well, look at who you have as a representative presently. And that's about all I have to say.
All right, shots fired, Jake. Shots fired.
Welcome to Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's weekly political podcast.
And welcome back to South Dakota's most listened to political podcast. You are punched in to enjoy another round of Dakota Town Hall. Thank you for listening. You might be listening on a fine radio program such as The Cowboy in Rapid City, or perhaps you're listening on your favorite podcast player. If you are, why don't you take a minute to go follow some of us on social media at Dakota Town Hall on the Twitter. I think we're also on Facebook. You can also follow at Jake Schoenbeck on various platforms. And don't forget, Jake's fundraiser is April 23rd.
Yes, sir.
Where's it at again?
Willow Run in Sioux Falls.
That's right.
The golf course, because you know me, cannot be more of a golf course guy. So I had my fundraiser at one.
Someone needs 80 votes and a boatload of cash. So why don't you guys show up on the 23rd?
We also have a, I'm just going to let that one sit. We also have a fantastic guest, Chrissy Golden, running for district. I should have been ready for that. District 9. I'm never going to get those right.
Today's district spotlight is District 9. Yep.
District 9. This is kind of the Hartford, East or West Sioux Falls. I always kind of call this the twin district to my district in a lot of ways, where it's kind of a little bit of Sioux Falls and you got one big city or town in it, like you got Hartford. So, Chrissy, how you doing?
I am doing great, guys.
Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here. South Dakota's most listened to political podcast. I mean, come on.
Yes, ma'am. So give us a rundown of your race. Who's in the race and kind of what's going on with it? Start.
Okay, cool. So for the House on District 9, we have one open seat because Ken Tunison, who had been one term, great veteran, good person, just decided Pierre was not his scene. And he had other things he wanted to do. So he got out of the race. So we have Bethany Soy still running for reelect. And then on the other ones who are rounding it out are myself and then Daryl Christensen, who was in the legislature 20 years ago. Good guy in the Sioux Falls community, has been involved with the builders. And then Tessa Schwanz, who was kind of one of those candidates who showed up on the ballot the last day. So there's four of us. It's a four-way.
Four-person House primary. It's going to get heated. And, of course,
it is.
Your incumbent House opponent, Bethany Soy, often in the news as someone with a little more, some passion, I guess, is one way to say it.
A way to put it. Or just, not the best bills she puts forward sometimes, in my opinion, but.
Jake, now what makes you say that? What bills could you possibly be brought up by Bethany Soy that.
The list does not end. I mean, it could start with the one in which she wanted to axe the First Amendment. I mean, that was a big one, but. You know, let's not go there. We're trying to keep it light. Chrissy is here to talk about her race.
Who cares about the First Amendment, Jake?
So, okay. We asked last week, Chrissy, why are you running? What's your kind of pitch for why you're running?
Yeah, great question. So community and public service have been very important my whole entire life. I have a father that was very into, not quite like yours, Jake, but who definitely put forward how important it was to be involved. And both my parents lived that on a daily basis. It's like, leave the place better, you know, than you found it. And so that's always kind of been something that I've looked to and been inspired by. And I think South Dakota is at a really interesting crossroads. The big federal one-time money, you know, let's you know, you get a project and you get a project is over. And so we're facing, you know, a more challenging, you know, less fun time because you don't have all the money to give out to everybody. And so you need fiscally conservative people in there who are going to make great decisions. We had, you know, we came through the pandemic really well compared to other people because we had this open for business attitude. And I've run a business. I've been an employee. I know what it takes to make sure that those jobs keep going. We need to be keeping government small and smart to help those businesses grow. We need to support, you know, our workers, you know, through good education, safe communities. And that's how we keep South Dakota great for our kids and future generations. So that's why I want to get in.
So what are the issues District 9? What are the issues that matter more in District 9 than maybe other districts? What are you Niners care about?
Well, I think one of the big presences is one of the probably stronger South Dakota Right to Life chapters is in the Hartford, Humboldt, and kind of over into Salem area. So that is actually still a pretty passionate issue for a lot of people in 9, really meaningful. And so, of course, the constitutional amendment is going to be something that, particularly in the fall, is something that's going to get people very passionate about. It also, I mean, we do have some people who are very passionate about the pipeline and not necessarily happy about the idea of the pipeline. So that will certainly continue to be something we hear. And Hartford's on the, you know, cusp of starting to really grow and have that issue that, you know, other communities to the south like Harrisburg and T have had, where all of a sudden you're starting to find people who are getting taxed out of their homes. So
that's an issue I can really see in Hartford, right? Like that mm-hmm. that Sioux Falls sprawl towards your small community and how that evolves. That makes a lot of sense in District 9. Is there, I don't mean to sound dumb. This is just me being on the west side. Do you guys have pipelines running through District 9?
There's pipelines running across the state. But yes. The one map, one of the summit maps would have taken it through 9. Yes. So yeah, there are definitely affected landowners. And that's an issue that they're going to be passionate about with understandably.
Aren't they? So. I mean, I'm with you there. It's a big issue of almost every district that has any rural mm-hmm. amount to it. It's an issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
You must have I guess I'll throw it this way. When you're door knocking in 9 and someone goes pipelines, you must have a pipeline thought.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, the one thing I want to make sure is I'm not going to second guess votes that happened in the legislature because I wasn't there. I wasn't getting the constituent mail. I wasn't, you know, so for me, that's a hypothetical vote. I didn't have all the information, so I'm not going to go there. But I think what's really important that we need to balance, and it's tough because property rights and being, you know, and land ownership is one of the things that sets our country apart, I think, and one of the things that's made the great American experiment, you know, possible. And so that's very important. And we need to really balance that against what is our state's number one industry, which is ag. And $6 corn is a whole lot better for our state than $3 corn. Mm-hmm. And so it's you need to try to work really hard on finding that balance that respects that property owner, but allows business to keep going because, you know, shuttering the doors. Well, we've seen that happen in other parts of the country and it sucks.
$3 and $6 corn conversations. I've never felt more back at home in Elcester. We don't have that. We don't have those chats out here. It's all about beef out west.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Christy, what would you say sets you apart from your opponents in the race? What makes you unique as a person to serve and peer?
Well, I think I actually have a political background that I, you know, came from. I worked in Washington, D.C., so I've absolutely seen the sausage get made. And I think that experience and that perspective, again, seeing how it works, having that also family business background, gives me some advantages to come in with experiences that help me hear, you know, more than just my opinion, and be open to understand that, hey, as hard as this is for me to say, I don't know it all. And actually, that's not very hard to say. I prove that all the time. But I'm willing to listen and willing to learn. And I'm willing to respect other opinions. And I think that's something, unfortunately, that we've been gradually losing, certainly on the national level, way more than on the state level. But I really don't want to see that. I mean, there are efforts that, you know, want to create these litmus tests and all those things that narrow things down and, make us losers in the long run. And I don't want to see that happen.
What did you who'd you work for in D.C.?
I worked for Larry Pressler.
Oh, sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Murdoch is a huge Larry Pressler fan.
I am a huge Larry Pressler fan. I'm a student of him. That last senatorial race he did when he came in real close and then the RNC dropped a Brinks truck on his forehead in September.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he is. Okay. So you'll love this then. So the first time I met Larry Pressler, I was in sixth grade and he was running for his first reelect in the House.
God, he was old then.
And I don't know if you remember the poster that he had for his reelect, but he's in the denim shirt, you know, partly buttoned down, rolled up sleeves, you know, walking from the farm. I mean, good grief. And so you can imagine a sixth grade girl thinks, I mean, it wasn't just sixth grade girls who were like, you know, it was a vote getter. Let's put it that way.
He's a handsome candidate, man.
Yeah. And that was definitely in his player days. I mean, he was a hot ticket. So I was super excited. My dad had let me take the poster. I have it next to my desk, hanging on the bulletin board. I am just
awesome.
And so our whole class is writing legislative candidates to ask them to come talk to the classes. And I mean, and these are our local ones at the time. Minnehaha County was District 10. That's all it was. It's crazy. It looked like a jungle primary when you went to the ballot. It was like pick 10 or pick 5. And it was all these names. It was crazy. But anyway, so I'd done that part of the assignment, but I wanted to go above and beyond and write to Larry Pressler and ask him to come. And he did. And I got to meet him in the hall separately. And then he addressed the whole sixth grade. And his aftershave, I could, you know, like the girls in my class are like smelling his aftershave on my hand.
Awesome.
I mean, it was just, you know. So in Washington, D.C., years later, I'm his press secretary. And it was State of the Union, one of the State of the Union nights. And we're walking in the Senate tunnels over to the building. And there's kind of a lull in the conversation. I'm like, you know, actually, I met you when I was in sixth grade. And I start going through it and explain it. And he goes, yeah, your teacher was Pam. And
wow. Recall.
Yeah. So, I mean, absolutely new. Now, I think Pam may have been one of those farm girls that Larry dated at one time. She was Mrs. Nelson by then. That he was so impressed by meeting me. It was that my teacher was.
Well, that's why you came to your class then, huh?
Yeah. That may have had some influence. But yeah, I actually was able to bring in the letter that he wrote, the thank you letter. From me inviting him to come visit because my mom still had it. And yeah, so
Larry Pressler,
that's pretty cool.
Thirst trap.
Yes, he freaking was. I mean, we'd never really had the tabloid press like the British, but freaking in Washington, D.C., that's absolutely, it was like huge. One of the bigger stories, like, and I, you know, going through the archives that I came across, is this gal who just, she'd seen him and decided she wanted to write for a date, you know, and put like a personal ad in the newspaper, like, hey, Senator from SD, you know. And I mean, it was this huge story about he took her to lunch in the Senate dining room. And it was ridiculous. I mean, he was like, super, super hot. I mean, yeah. Crazy.
That is awesome. I did not see this coming today.
No, I neither.
My favorite part of the show so far.
Yeah.
Okay, Christy, as we wrap up, give me kind of your elevator pitch, why we should vote, or someone in District 9 should vote for Christy Golden.
Well, I think that what I bring to the table for somebody in District 9 is somebody who wants to make sure our communities are continuing to grow. We've got good education for our kids. and we're doing what we can to keep South Dakota the great place it is so that we can live and work and raise our families here and enjoy the quality of life that we keep going. And I'm the person who understands business and understands what it takes to get it done.
Larry Pressler aficionado and District 9 House candidate Christy Golden.
Yep. Christy, you got a website, social media?
I do. It's super easy. It's ChristyGolden.com. And Christy, now thanks to the governor, has made it really a lot easier for people to be able to spell Christy correctly. And Golden, like the arches, you know, like the, you know, Colorado, you know. So, yep, just easy peasy, ChristyGolden.com.
Well, awesome. Good luck knocking on them doors, and yours is a district that we're gonna stay kind of dialed into between here and June, so we'll see how the race goes.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys, for what you do. Have a great weekend. Day.
That was fun, Jake.
That was Ben.
You can find more at Hot for Pressler.
I did not see that coming at all. I love that story.
All right.
That'd be a fun one to do. I mean, honestly, I don't know a lot about Larry Pressler. It's, you know, before my time, and no offense, I'm kind of eclipsed by Thune and that crowd.
Well, and he got you know, he was famous because of it was an ab scam. He didn't take the bribe, right? And then unfortunately, you add 3 decades to it or whatever, and then like in that last race, he was. You know, his opposition pegged him maybe as a little dopey. By then, we finally let the domain go, but the best website domain we've ever owned ever is, I'm gonna edit it, it's a little blue, sorry everybody. One night we were sitting around the bar, and it was right around that September time when he got that high poll, and we were just thinking around as a thought exercise, Jake, we're like, how do you get Larry Pressler to win that race, right? And we go, okay, you make him a rock star. And we bought Larry Effin' Pressler.com, and we kind of built a little ad campaign where it's like, listen, are you tired of the nonsense? You got to vote for Larry Effin' Pressler.com. Like a monster truck ad. He didn't go for it, unfortunately.
I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked. That'd be a fun episode, though, to kind of do some Larry Pressler like history. That'd be kind of a fun little one to do, I think, maybe this summer.
Jake, we're going to take this opportunity to take a small break and pay some bills. Don't forget, at Dakota Town Hall, if you'd like to, I read a comment. If you'd like to listen to this Hey C-Dish radio program, Honk and Bray, you can. We'll continue with more honks and brays when we return.
Dakota Town Hall will be right back after a quick word from our partners.
On the latest episode of Citizens Arrest...
Out in front of the mall, on the east side, as you're exiting, that stop sign right there, in white writing, it says, please don't, and then, of course, stop. And then under that, it says, Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been up there for about a week now.
Well, and I've got 2 questions. 1, is that illegal? 2, do you know who Daddy is?
Isn't that you, Brandon?
It can be. Catch the latest episode of Citizens Arrest anywhere you find your podcast.
Affirmative.
The Daily Slice offers essential podcast updates for Rapid City and the Black Hills, delivering local influence news alongside vital national and global stories with fresh episodes every morning. It's your perfect start to the day. Don't miss out. Subscribe to The Daily Slice on your preferred podcast platform.
Season 4.
Hey, BJ.
Yeah, dog.
Season 4 Vikings Water Cooler Talk with you and myself. Isn't that exciting?
Very exciting.
Kirko's gone.
Gone, bud.
And we have all kinds of free agency moves we're doing. The NFL draft's coming up. We might get a new quarterback.
Whole new team.
And the only way you're going to get better is this way.
And listening to Vikings Water Cooler Talk with Stitch and BJ wherever you get your podcasts.
Vikings Water Cooler Talk with Stitch and BJ. Victory is ours.
And now back to Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's premier political podcast.
Bring our way back through the end of another episode of South Dakota's most listened to political podcast. You are listening to Dakota Town Hall with Jake in the east. I'm Murdoch in the west. Good morning. Or afternoon,
I guess. Have we backed those numbers up on the most listened to?
No, that's what's nice about saying it. You don't. First off, when we started, we were the only, so we get to get away with it for a while. Now there's a couple.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, until someone shows me otherwise, we are.
No one's contested it. No one's contested it. We've gone on with the Dakota Scout guys, and they haven't contested it.
So we we cleared, I think we have about 10,000 listeners, give or take. That's what I think our total audience is sitting at right now.
All right.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Keeps growing. Even through session, we...
Hey, we got cheers and jeers from the Northeast. Your buddy Michael Roll won a it was an award.
It's an all-expensive vacation is what he won.
A press junket
to Virginia. He's going to be got selected for a national leadership program. About time the guy figured out how to be a leader.
And now this is actually pretty cool. There's about they pick about 50 people, and if you're a state House or Senate member, you can apply. And they only pick 50 in the entire country, and Senator Roll did get picked. It is, I know we like to kick him a little, but it's pretty cool.
It is. He's deserving of it. He is. I mean, it's, you know, an emerging leaders program, and no doubt he is one of those emerging leaders in our state Senate. And someone that's fun to watch his career go on.
He called me last night, and he's like, "Now I'm looking for places where I want to stay, and I don't want to stay in one of your weird hotels." I'm like, "What do you mean by that?" He's like, "I don't want to stay where it's weird and old and art. I just want it to be modern and nice."
To be fair, Roll is weird like you in a lot of ways. So
I thought he would appreciate my taste. So I went through the hotels we were looking at, and like one's an old one. And he's like, "No, see, this is what I'm talking about. It's weird in there. There's a great restaurant and a great bar." You don't pick your hotels based off of how good the martini is in the hotel bar?
I know you do it that way. I mean, I picked the one closest to a brewery, so that's just me.
But congrats to Senator Roll, and you know, congrats on your paid vacation.
This is not to Hawaii, and he's not cliff jumping, right?
That's a good point. Oh gosh. You know, can we plug next week?
Yeah,
Jake, listen to this. We have been for over 1 year now. You and I have been called rhinos. Next week, we are going to be joined by Taffy Howard, because are reaching out across the aisle, and we are reaching out to have someone come on in and join from perspectives that maybe are a little different than ours. And I'm looking forward to it. So we're going to have Taffy on for District 34 as we talk about 34 next week.
I am too. Same thing we did with Chrissy. We're going to do a candidate spotlight. I'm looking forward to see what Taffy has to say. And I mean, no doubt, interesting perspective too, right? I mean, she ran for statewide office and
that's
now running
just
for
it.
Legislature.
Looking forward to it. So Taffy Howard, so calm down, ding-a-lings. We're having one of your guys on next week. Jake, I have a surprise for you.
What's the surprise?
Well, I wanted to get Taffy on this week, but we couldn't figure out schedules. So I'm pleased to introduce to you our third co-host surprise guest.
How are you guys?
I did not know this was happening.
I emailed him during the show. I'm like, "Hey, we're down a guest. Do you want to come on?" He's like, "What time?" I'm like, "Just send him the Google link." Mr.
Tony, how you doing?
How are you guys?
Great. I'd like an update on how Henry's doing, how my favorite Van Huysen is doing.
You know, Henry's had a great couple weeks. The big update is he and three of his buddies did a National History Day project at his school. They made a 10-minute documentary on the development of the tank, why were tanks developed, how they changed over time. So these guys are sixth graders. So they won at their school, so then they move on to the city competition. They won at the city, so they went to the state competition, which was at SDSU last week, and they won there. So now they're going to Washington, D.C. in June for National History Day.
In my head, I just see Henry, like, taking down high school kids, right? Like, his is better than theirs.
And the best part is, this was a middle school and high school division, but there was, like, a two-hour period in the afternoon where they kind of needed to give the kids something to do while they were doing the judging. So they had all the kids 6 through 12 in a room at SDSU, and they did this little history quiz bowl for them. So Henry and his three buddies, the sixth graders, won the quiz bowl. They
nice.
Beat all the kids. So yeah, he's having a great week.
That's good.
Congrats,
man.
Henry, yeah, going to Washington, D.C. Has he been there before?
Yeah, we took our family trip there two summers ago. So kind of, unfortunately, we've already been there, but it'll still be a lot of fun.
Hey, so we didn't prep Tony for any of this, and so I don't mean to just throw you into the mix of topics on the show, Tony. But one of the topics that's happening We always feel like we come you on and they're like, now we're going to talk about Chrissy Noem. Good luck, buddy. But like one of the topics that's happening is the tribes and the flags. And I'm interested in your perspective, not on this end of it where everybody gets to weigh in because they like or don't like Chrissy Noem, but you were chief of staff and you were involved in what I'm sure can be at times complicated relationships with our Native American tribes. So I just thought we'd get your perspective on this story.
Yes, I have a lot of thoughts on this. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that before. You know, what I would tell you is when Chrissy came into office, and I was part of that transition team when she was just coming in, she had, and I think still has, a very genuinely felt desire to make progress with the tribes. She sees the problems that exist on the reservations. She wants to figure out ways to help them improve that situation. How can the state help? And she, early in her term, you know, would go there and have meetings, and not just, you know, with the tribal leaders, but also with more people who are a little more on the ground. And I do really think this is something that she feels very strongly about. I know it is. It was really too bad. There have been a number of things that have come up that have just been obstacles to that relationship. And the one that I was the most directly involved with was during COVID, then, when a couple of these tribes wanted to close the state highways, which is just a real, you know, the state maintains these. The whole point of a highway is that it goes point A to point B. You can't just have local jurisdiction opening and closing a highway. It doesn't really work that way. They were worried about spreading COVID, but the vast majority of this traffic doesn't even stop. In fact, the most likely place they were going to transmit COVID was when they stop them to talk to them about the fact that the road was closed. So I always felt like the closures were pretty silly. But there was a real jurisdiction push and pull on, can we do this or not, and what are we going to do to stop them? And that just drug on and on. And I think was the first thing that really poisoned some of that relationship. I think the governor was right to stick up for the fact that, hey, we shouldn't be able to close a state highway that we maintain. But of course, they didn't see it that way. And you would just accumulate some of this baggage. And then the more recent ones are some of these statements she's made about the drug problems. I mean, it's interesting. If you go back when she gave that speech to the joint session of the legislature, I didn't think that anything she said about the tribes was particularly controversial. I mean, she was just saying, you know, there's evidence that the cartels are operating in some of this and that this is what's driving some of this drug problem. And I think that's true. A couple of them took offense. You never know. I mean, tribal leaders are also political leaders. And so there's always an element where, just like people say, oh, maybe Christie's playing to, you know, the crowd for political reasons, the tribal chairs could also be playing to the crowd for political reasons.
That's reasonable, yeah.
And I just think this banishing people from the reservation thing is just obnoxious. And I also think
returning the flag on the internet is a little petty.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, they ban her from the thing.
What I don't like about the flags and the rotunda thing is this was something that she offered actually her first year in office, I think, and then kind of returned back to it as sort of a nice goodwill gesture. Hey, you're all part of the state too. Let's all have, and then it's turned into this tit for tat. Some won't give them the flag and some will, and some give it to them, but then they want it back. And my attitude should be like, look, we're going to put all nine of them up and we're never going to take them down or else we're just not going to do it. These shouldn't be a political football.
No.
And well, I don't like that it's become that and that they're using it in that way. If we're going to do that, we should just not do it.
Well, and I could agree more with her take on it, where and Ian Fury saying, come and get your flag. Like, we took it down. You asked us to come again. We're not going to deliver it to you. You ban us from your reservation. We're not going to come and deliver it to you. Like, come and take it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that.
I mean, they banned her. I mean, like you banned her from it, and now you want her to come return the flag.
It just seems like a pitch you don't have to swing at, and you can still make your case.
Well, maybe, but this is the whole problem, is there are real serious issues.
It is bearing the lead of actual issues. I do agree with that 1,000%, right?
And now we're going to do the banishing, and now we're going to fight over the flags and all of this. And, you know,
Aren't you glad you came on?
Well,
you should never ask before.
It's a great answer. I do appreciate it.
This is something I've actually given a lot of thought, but never talked about publicly. So,
no, I'm glad you came on for it. I think a chief of staff's opinion on it is valid.
Well, and it reminds me too of we want to take a walk down South Dakota history again.
Absolutely.
Right.
I don't remember if we talked about this with Dick Knipe or not, but one of the things I found when I was researching him was a very similar story. He really came in wanting to try to make progress with the tribes. And of course, he was a Democrat and thought maybe that would help. And then it just happened that was the time of AIM and when they're attacking the Custer courthouse, Augustana. I mean, things just really went sideways on him. And a lot of it, there wasn't anything he could do about it, but it really made his. It made it very difficult for him to make progress, even though he wanted to. And Chrissy seems like in some ways she's in a similar situation where the circumstances have just kind of sabotaged it.
Speaking of progress, you can throw candy at the parade in Sioux Falls now.
I'm so excited about this. Finally, what a dumb law that was.
Okay, so there was a law in the book saying you can't throw. What was the reasoning of the law? I don't want to do an hour on candy in Sioux Falls.
I believe in Tony Kirk, if I'm wrong. Safety. Choking? A kid got hurt in like the 90s or something.
Oh,
they don't want some kid running out for a piece of candy and getting run over.
Okay, you know what? Darwinism. If you get run over for that.
Come on. Come on, man. Well, you're running for office.
Okay, I went to many parades. I picked up tons of candy. You know what? I lived.
And I don't know. Jake and I mean, we've both walked through a lot of parades, I'm sure. And those things are going 2 miles an hour.
Right, I don't think there's a real.
If you take your kid, you just got to watch them. I mean, I've had my kids at these parades, and you got to tell them, don't run in front of the car. I mean,
you kids need to pull yourselves up by your bootstraps and get your own candy.
Well, like just that, be smart. Like, if you're throwing candy, you throw it at the kids on the street. You don't throw it in the middle of the street.
So, yeah, well, I mean, unless you're really trying to run over kids, I guess.
It was like some Canaries player trying to, like, wing a piece of bubble gum and hit a kid. You're going to poke your eye out with the candy in Sioux Falls.
Right.
Well, one kid got hurt once and rooted for everybody else, you know?
Aren't you guys going to feel silly if someone gets hurt on the first parade out of the jump and some kid takes a Jolly Rancher in the ear and now all of a sudden Alex Jensen's got a lawsuit on his hands?
I stand by with Darwinism. If that kid gets hurt, it's his fault, you know? Let us throw candy. I can't
wait. Murdoch got it right. It's not my fault or Jake's fault. It's Alex Jensen's fault.
That's what I heard. This whole thing is Alex Jensen's fault. Okay. Well, so when does that take effect? Like tomorrow? Like if I wanted to show up to Sioux Falls tomorrow and start throwing candy at kids, I can?
Let's not do that.
So the way I understood it was the city had a prohibition, which they have removed, but it's still up to the parade organizers.
That's correct. So, okay. They could still ban it if they wanted to, but
right.
Also, the weird thing was you could still throw things. You just couldn't throw candy. Like you could throw, like I know in the St. Patrick's Parade, a bear threw stress
cans
balls.
Of beer.
Wish.
Okay, I got being the solutions minded dude I am, guys. I have an idea. I think you can take all them taxidermied animals from the whatever it's called, and then you could turn them into like parade floats. And then from the annual taxidermied parade, you throw some candy. Everybody wins.
Just spreading asbestos across the entire town.
Asbestos.
One parade at a time.
Skittles.
No,
whatever.
No. It's arsenic. It's arsenic.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It's arsenic. Right. Arsenic. Arsenic. And Old Lace.
Maybe there's asbestos, too. It could be.
Probably. Probably is. But, no, I'm looking forward to that. It's, you've heard of the Kranzberg Parade?
Mm-mm.
Have you heard of the Kranzberg Parade, Tony?
Is this some Watertown thing you think everybody knows about?
I've walked through the Kranzberg Parade.
You walked the Kranzberg Parade.
Really?
That's yes. I have driven in the Kranzberg Parade twice, which almost ran a kid over while doing it, for that matter, because throwing candy. They hand beer off a float at the Kranzberg Parade.
Now we're talking.
And they grill hot dogs on an engine.
That's the kind of parade I'm in. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's the best parade in the state.
It's kind of next level.
I will say candidates don't go to it much anymore because it's not worth the candidate's time to be in that parade. Like it's everyone's drunk, and it's just not a parade you want to check.
Well,
in.
And it's on 4th of July, and so it has a lot of parades that day.
A lot of parades.
Sure.
Yeah.
You got to pick and choose.
Early in the morning, you go to that parade, then you go to Watertown, and they do a candy drop from an airplane in Watertown because they can't throw candy in Watertown either.
But. Wait a minute.
Why didn't we?
In Watertown.
Sioux Falls should have done that.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
That's awesome.
Back up. You can't, you don't allow, Watertown doesn't allow candy to be thrown, but you'll somehow airdrop it?
Yeah, they, a crop duster flies down Main Street and drops candy.
The city doesn't have jurisdiction.
Even my producer's laughing about how this is.
You know, until I said it out loud, I didn't think how absurd that was.
You know, someone might lose an eye if they're tossing it from the fire truck. Let's get Bill's crop duster and drop it from 100 feet.
Just down Main Street. It's great.
That's pretty cool, actually. Sorry, Tony. Go ahead.
There was a, was it Falkton? Or there was some town a long time ago that tried to do a turkey drop because they thought turkeys could fly.
WKRP, baby.
Well, it happened on that show, but it also happened for real in some South Dakota town.
They tried to do that marijuana plane landing up in Akaska. That got them busted.
That was a different deal. Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
What happened to the turkeys? Did the turkeys all die? I mean, they just...
Well, yeah.
As God is my witness.
One of them, like, hit a house. I mean, it's not a great idea.
Speaking of bad ideas, I hear Toby, your buddy Toby Doden is back into the news.
Yeah, he's using President Trump's likeness to raise money, which, I mean, if you're trying to raise money, I guess, and from his crowd of people, that makes a lot of sense, I guess.
You know, maybe Toby Doden ought to sell the Toby Doden Bible, see if he can whip a few shekels out.
Well, is he raising money? I thought he had his own money.
No, he's raising money. I thought he had his own money too, but apparently he needs to raise money to get.
Listen, and like it, as any crypto billionaire will tell you, as I've heard Toby Doden is, you never spend your own money.
I mean, he's taking it from Trump, right? Don't spend your own money on these things. Raise it from the people.
So he's just putting Trump's face on there and saying, hey, give me money. I mean, that, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't think he has permission to use Trump's likeness for that. And so that's kind of the rub there, is that he's using Trump's likeness to raise money but doesn't have approval to use Trump's likeness.
I just read the other night that Trump is trying to assert that he should get a cut of any money that's raised with his image.
I mean, the beauty...
Which, in a way, he maybe... I mean, I
can't really argue with that. I know.
Yeah, that's... I mean...
Wouldn't it be glorious if Trump is the one who killed... The new super Trumper base,
like Toby Doden's thing, like
they couldn't figure out the commission for Trump. Well,
Tony, how's your race going?
Yeah, let's talk about 13.
You know, the big news of the day is I got up first thing this morning and I buzzed down to Canton. I live in Lincoln County, so not in Sioux Falls, it's in Canton.
That was harsh. What's wrong with Canton?
I have beef with Canton being the county seat, but that's Minnehaha now, so I can't explain.
You know, we came to them; it wasn't their idea, right? But they were just a nice little rural county minding their own business, and then here comes Sioux Falls, and so it's not their fault. But no, I drove down to Canton this morning, went in, went to vote. I thought you can vote today.
Early voting starts today.
I was the first person to vote in Lincoln County.
Were you really? Good for you.
In fact, when I went to the auditor window, the lady at the window asked if she could have all the other ladies come over and watch just so that they all were reminded how to do it because it was the first one. So, of course, I was happy to let her do that. So, cast my vote. I got to vote for myself twice because I'm also running for precinct man, and then the third choice was precinct woman, and I voted for my wife. So it was a big Van Huysen sweep on the ballot.
Another Van Huysen power grab.
The Chicago method, vote early and vote often, right?
Right. I'm just going to head down there. Yeah. That was today. I've been getting signs up. You know, in my district, we have four people running for two spots, and I have a bunch of big signs up and a bunch of yard signs and some billboards going. And Brad Janker, who... is also running, also got a bunch of signs going. We haven't seen much activity from the other two yet, but I'd imagine we will at some point. So
are you getting,
we'll keep working and see how it goes.
You're a leader in the party in this state, or amongst the leaders in the party of this state, at least I'd say that. Do you find yourself in the middle of any other races?
I wouldn't say I'm in the middle of any other races, but I do have, I do certainly have other friends who are running or candidates who are running who will call me to run things by me or just kind of, you know, talk through this issue or that issue or, you know, ask my advice on what they should be doing. Happy to do that.
When I was planning my fundraiser, I was talking to Murdoch and, you know, I was like, who should I call to see how much they spent? And he made a comment, don't call Tony, because I'm sure he had. What did you say, Murdoch? I think Ulysses S. Grant butter sculptures or something like that.
Oh, yes. I thought the budget in 13 versus 2 might be a little higher. And so you would spring for, what did I say? Yes, Ulysses S. Grant butter figurines.
So I appreciate Tony's
advice. Only 5 or 6, though. We try to keep this.
Right. You can't. It's not egregious.
Right. Right.
Earlier in the show, Tone, we had District 9 House candidate Christy Golden on.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Yeah, and we also learned quite a bit, and so we're starting to add up what the history of this summer is going to be. And so far, here is the slated. I think we're going to try to do some territorial governors, or at least one episode on some territorial governors.
Sorry, we're going to make Tony do that, I think, is what
I'm making Tony do that, yes.
We could do one solid up. They're all just a bunch of crooks. Except
for
one.
Perfect. At least one. I'll
we
take
can
it.
Cover them in kind of a summative way, I think. Yeah.
And then I think we're planning a Lee Schoenbeck series. And so get your Lee Schoenbeck stories.
A series about Lee or of Lee? Or
both. Yeah. Okay. Well, probably more about. I think maybe I want to. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll bring Lee in at the end of it. And then also added to the docket just today, earlier in the show, our series called Larry Pressler, Thirst Trap. Because apparently, Thirst Trap. Are you about to learn what a thirst trap is?
Okay, I thought this is the end of the show. People stop listening.
This is that hayseed braying and donkeying I've heard about on the internet message boards. He was quite the sex symbol.
Was he?
Yeah, that's according to Christy Golden.
Yeah, according to Christy Golden, he was hot. That's a quote.
And so we're going to do, a history of Larry Pressler, Thirst Trap.
Well, I'm not old enough to remember that.
Same. So
he was, though, really very young when he was first running and a Vietnam veteran. And you go back and look.
Handsome.
Yeah, but I was going to say his electoral performance, I mean, he was winning by just massive margins. I mean, only recently, like John Thune has maybe notched or Dusty one or two, but he was winning 70-30 back in the 70s when we were 50-50 in a lot of these statewide elections. I mean, he was just an electoral force in his first 10 or 15 years. That would be interesting to talk about.
That'd be a good episode.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about him at all, honestly. That's not something I have any really knowledge of.
Well, and that's just it. People forget about the Senate, you know, the app, what was it called? Ab scam.
Yeah.
It's what he was famous for, you know.
He was in Congress for 22 years. He's been out of Congress now for 28. And so, wow. Yeah, I think that history is a lot of people probably don't remember that anymore.
I don't know. It's probably, maybe it's too soon yet, too, but we got a couple requests to do. It'd be fun to do some, like a Knipe deep dive again and a Daschle and like a, you know, the like more of the Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a great one.
We get called rhinos. We talked about Republicans all the time on this show.
You know, Knipe was 37 when he was governor and his staff was all younger than him. So there's, even though he was 50 years ago, there's still several of his staffers around, and the same with Daschle. There's a lot of these old Daschle staffers, some in Sioux Falls, but around. I mean, I would think you could get a real interesting show about either of them.
So you,
Tim Johnson too. I mean, a lot of them.
We've got we've got our history summer, our summer history series. You know,
keep your Thursday starting to take evenings shape. Or Friday mornings open, Tony. We're gonna need you.
The other guy, and this would be, you know, Lee would be one of these, but. You could throw a Jim Abner episode in there.
Oh, that would be fun too. Yeah.
A lot of old Abner guys running around.
I want to do an Abner hunt-off together on one episode.
Quick Abner story that I've heard from my dad. See, Abner taught my dad to drive in D.C., and he said, all you got to do to get, whatever, it's, you know, he's from Webster, South Dakota. Right? Remember that, right? So driving DC is a big deal. And he said, if you want to get into that lane of the car there, you just pump fake them. Give them a little pump fake. And then they hit the brakes right away and you get in. How's Jim Abner?
Give them a little pump fake.
That's kind of right, though.
Yeah, that's pretty true. So what else is happening in East River there, Tony? Anything else for the good of the order here in your guys' area?
No, we're gearing up for the primary. It seems like some candidates are getting an earlier start than others. And
do you do debates and that kind of stuff? Is that something that's going to happen in 13? Like forums?
Or whatever?
Not a great deal. You know, the Lincoln County Party had a candidate forum the other night that I went to. Of course, that is District 13 and 12 and 6. And six, you know, there's like four districts mm-hmm. that are part of Lincoln County. And so you've got a pretty big group of people showing up for that. I think maybe the Minnehaha County Republican women are going to do something coming up. But again, there's never just like a District 13 head-to-head. It's always a big candidate forum with multiple districts. Because in Sioux Falls, there's, you know, six districts in the core of Sioux Falls and then another four right around us.
We have one. May 22nd is the District 2 Brandon forum. So ours is a little different, right? Because it's the Brandon hosting ours.
Right.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up with one. Do you hear? I mean, obviously, everybody saw it on the phone and everything. It's 911 thing. Do you think this is going to come into play with South Dakota politics, right? Like, all of a sudden, 911 didn't work. That's never happened in my lifetime.
Yeah, don't call 911. I didn't. Okay, so one light post in Missouri takes out 911 for multiple states.
Not even. It's like Las Vegas and Kentucky and Kansas. And I mean, it doesn't. I don't know if it's really going to be a political issue. It doesn't seem like anyone in South Dakota had any control over it, but it doesn't make any sense. Like, we really have. This is the system. Like, one guy can just unplug. I mean,
I just don't.
I don't know.
Bill hits the snooze on 911.
You can't conceive that going down, right? And it's kind of like, what do you mean 911 went down? Like, it's 911.
Reminded me of, you guys remember the movie Airplane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember when the whole airport, all the lights go off and everything shuts down, and then the one guy has just unplugged the thing from the wall, and then he plugs it back in.
Yeah.
That's apparently how we run the 911 system in these states. I don't know.
It was interesting, the immediate... in something like this nowadays, you have to also like you almost have to watch for the uncontrollable amount of speed of misinformation, right? Because
it's just
like
speculation. It's just speculation. This a cyber attack?
Yep.
I mean, that was what I wondered.
And mm-hmm. I think everybody's natural. It's not like you can get rid of people's natural fears and hesitancies, right? Because everybody kind of thought, "What is this? An attack or a cyber attack or a?" You know,
right.
and then a snowball can start on social media, and then you heard about a thing, and all this. You know what I mean? It's an odd time because I think when we're in a knee deep election period where everybody's kind of at each other's throats in the democracy of it all, it's a little terrifying because. You know, cheeseburgers and tennis shoes and 911, like those are things you just have. And this is I'm going to get to my point here. This is why you can't elect these ding-a-lings who just make up things on the internet and are like performance bashing real candidates, because you can't mix, like all of a sudden it's fine if Bethany Soy doesn't believe in vaccines or whatever she's on about. But now 911 don't work. You got to lean on these people. Come on.
I'm going to have a new bit called Murdoch's Hard Pivots.
Sorry.
And that was one of the hardest pivots I've ever heard of the show.
I forgot I was trying to get there in the beginning.
No way. I was like,
it's serious, though. We can't have these like election denying, science denying ding-a-lings when all of a sudden 911 doesn't work. You got to turn to them? Come on. You're going to go to Toby Doden?
Do you know over in England they had to add 911 as one of the numbers they could dial for emergency services because they kept seeing like American TV shows where they call 911, and so they assumed they could call that in England and Britain.
Because over there, isn't it?
Nine eight eight.
I'm not sure what it is, but they had to add 911.
Dumb Americans, we're not going to learn. Doesn't matter where we are. That's how we won the Cold War. You know, TV and jeans and Coke.
Coca-Cola.
That was a hard pivot. Thank you. I appreciate the patience.
You're just like, whoa, how'd he get there?
I'm going to blame it all on them. Once again, I want to thank Tony Van Huysen, District 13 House candidate, and our historian, and Christy Golden, District 9 House candidate. Next week, Jake, we're going to have Taffy Howard, District 34.
Sir.
We get some competing primary voices on. So, from Jake and Tony in the East, I'm Murdoch in the West. Thank you for listening to Dakota Town Hall.
See you next week.
Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's weekly podcast. Episodes are available every Friday. For more information or to request availability, please go to dakotatownhall.com. Dakota Town Hall is presented in partnership with Home Slice Audio, produced by Leslie Klein. Music and audio production by Oakley Tai. Research by Home Slice Audio and Dakota Town Hall. Graphics by Timmy Grablander. Social media content by Scout Wheeler and website design by Trey Wynn. Editorial advisor and executive producer, Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen. Special thanks to all of our weekly guests. While we try to be accurate with all of our information, this show is recorded live and errors do occur. For corrections, please visit dakotatownhall.com. Hosted by Jake Schoenbeck and Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen. Dakota Town Hall, another Home Slice Audio production.